Next on BYUSN, the Cougars made the jump to a Power 5 conference 1 year ago today. It's now the Power 4. How do we feel about BYU's competitiveness in the Big 12 compared to 1 year ago? Plus, 2025 NBA mock drafts have not one, but two BYU players being selected in the first round. What could that mean for BYU basketball?
We'll be joined by not one, but two Olympic qualifiers in Kenneth Rooks and James Corden as they recap how they were able to punch their tickets to Paris. BYU football released brand new uniforms that they'll be wearing in honor of their 100th season. We'll break them down in detail with Austin Colley. And who takes home the crown in our best BYU quarterback bracket? Is it Ty Detmer or Steve Young?
It's kind of a split championship, Jason. Details on the way.
Welcome
to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Monday, July 1st, the second half of the year is here, alongside a man who can appreciate Canada Day, which it is, and the fact that we wore the same shirt again is Jason Shepherd.
The last two times we've done the show, we have showed up with the exact same shirt on. We did not plan it, but I'm liking what I'm seeing. And yeah, I feel like I'm even closer to Greg Wrubell than I have ever been. Now that Utah has an NHL team, I'm finding myself with more of an affinity for all things Canadian. And with today being Canada Day, we would like to honor a couple of our favorite Canadians, one of them certainly being the voice of the Cougars,
for
Greg
sure.
Wrubell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how about Rory Linkletter, who, by the way, we'll have a little bit more on coming up in headlines.
He has qualified for the Olympics. BYU is a runner's school, Jason.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Let me tell you, Coach Istone and Diljit Taylor, what they do on campus is amazing.
They're building a dynasty, and there's nothing wrong with it. We just want BYU to be a football school and a basketball school and a soccer school and a volleyball school.
And all school.
And all sports school, right?
Yes, but happy Canada Day to all who celebrate.
Yes. Do you know the Canadian national anthem?
Oh, Canada?
Do you know anything outside of that?
Our something native land.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm impressed. On that note, I'll rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
BYU is ready for the Big 12. The question is, Big 12, are you ready for BYU?
Right in the door.
What's Trending, presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. Exactly 1 year ago today, BYU Athletics enjoyed a huge celebration as new members officially of the Big 12 Conference and into the Power 5 ranks, which I said moments ago is now Power 4, Jason. My, how quickly things change. There are many unknowns regarding how BYU would compete in the first season as a Power 5 team in all sports. Well, now we have answers. We've watched a full year. It was super fun and at times super frustrating for sure. So, Jason, 1 year later, how do you feel about BYU's overall competitiveness in the Big 12 compared to July 1st, 2023?
Yeah, I think the question probably, you know, like is specific to where you mentioned overall competitiveness. Overall, I like what BYU did. Now, that's going to fluctuate depending on which team and how things went. Obviously, with what we saw out of basketball, that was the one that took us all by surprise, pleasantly surprised,
sure.
And we enjoyed it.
It was a healing balm,
it was.
Frankly, coming off of a disappointing football season.
Yeah, and so when you look at each individual program, there's going to be different ways to look at that. I think the thing that stands out to me the most, if I'm looking at things today versus a year ago, everything we were basing BYU's first season in the Big 12 was based off of the past. For football, it was based off of independence and what it had done years ago in,
sure,
say, the WAC and the Mountain West. For all the other sports, it was what BYU had done recently in the WCC. So we really weren't comparing things accurately. Now we have a baseline to actually compare BYU in the Big 12. And I think that's what excites me the most about going into this year, is now BYU has a full year. All of the programs know what it's like to face Big 12 competition once you hit conference play. They know what it takes. They know what they're up against. And I think they will be better equipped to handle things in year two. Now, does that mean that the results will be dramatically different? In certain cases, I think we all hope so, but there's no guarantee of that. But I think you go in now having the data off of year one, and I think you feel better on how you can attack things in year two.
I feel like for the most part, looking back on the first year, the teams we thought were Big 12 ready proved that they were Big 12 ready. Specifically, BYU women's soccer, yep, BYU women's volleyball, and the runners. Shout out to Diljit Taylor and Ed Eystone again leading those programs. We thought that those programs were definitely ready.
Yeah.
And they were,
and
Jason. They were. It was awesome. We felt like BYU football was good enough to get to a bowl game and win at least three conference games. They came up one win shy of that. So 5-7, that was a disappointment. But overall, with basketball surprising everyone and some sprinkles of, you know, fantastic here and there from some of the other sports, overall it was really good. BYU was a top 40 team in the Learfield Director's Cup, which was fifth best of the 14 teams in the Big 12. Like, how do we not look at that and say, okay, that was a pretty good first year, especially because BYU football did not make a bowl game,
right?
There will naturally be a downtick, especially in the women's sports in year number two, because they were so senior heavy, specifically soccer.
Yeah.
You lose five draft picks, Jace. That's going to be tough to get back to another College Cup and a Final Four.
And then your best returning player is hurt and it's going to miss the season.
There's no way around. That stinks.
Yeah.
So there will be a drop-off of sorts there. What are the other programs that can step up and make up in the overall athletic program for what BYU women's soccer does? Maybe it is BYU football. Maybe it's basketball. Even though the expectations are sky high right now, maybe they can do one better and get to a Sweet 16, Jason. I don't know. I mean, that's a tough standard for sure. But overall, I feel like BYU's in position to probably finish close to where they did overall in the Learfield Director's Cup, but it would be fun to watch the two major sports take another step forward. So, and specifically BYU football, get to a bowl game, win seven games, awesome. Can BYU basketball win an NCAA tournament game? That would be a clear step forward. Can BYU women's basketball, with a solid and quietly put together a nice recruiting class, can they be a little more competitive?
Yeah.
I feel like, for the most part, programs are invested. And I choose that word specifically because I feel like support from boosters, from the Royal Blue Collective, from Cougar Club members, they know what it takes, Jason, financially to commit to these players. Totally different ballgame, and I feel like BYU's in it. Like, I feel like they're in it.
Yeah.
And it's not all about money, but in a way, like, when you show players and coaches, like, hey, we want to be elite, there is an investment there and of resources. So, again, it's not just, like, dollar bills. It's resources. And I feel like BYU has upgraded, and they have invested in the resources overall of the majority of the programs. And so it feels like they know what it's going to take competitively and financially to get to another level. And I'm excited to see if they can actually make that happen where the rubber meets the road, to use an off-use phrase.
Yeah.
So I like where BYU is. Long way to go, but I do feel like they know what it actually takes if you want to be a real competitor in the major sports in the Big 12.
Yeah, I think that's what it boils down to for me. Like I said, you know, now that you have a year, look, for just taking what we do for a living, the very first time that you did play-by-play of something, you'd never done it prior to.
Sure.
And were you your best that first time?
No, there's natural progression.
Yes, there is a progression. Once you're like, oh, okay, so that's how that works. That's how you do this. And then the next game, you get a little bit better. And then the next game, you get better. Regardless of what your profession is, the first time that you do something, you're going to struggle a little bit.
Yes.
Sometimes, I mean, you exceed your expectations. Like, okay, that wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be. But you learn, and step by step, you get better and better. And now that BYU has a year under its belt, they know the type of competition that they're going up against. And I mean that from an on-the-field and an off-the-field perspective.
Sure.
You know, in terms of, okay, well, what are other teams doing? What are the other facilities look like? What are the other NILs look like? The other collectives, all those things. BYU has now the data to go back and say, this is where we can make tweaks. And I agree with you. They have begun the process of continuing to invest in the athletic program. This is not new. They've been doing this for a long time. They are continuing to invest in this athletic department now in levels we've never seen before.
Sure. If you need a case and example of how BYU is committing to this in this new process, and it's changing by the day. Like in the last few months, everything has been flipped on its head as far as what's allowed and what's good, what's going to take. BYU basketball is a fantastic case to show that the Cougars are willing to do what it takes by getting Kevin Young and then putting together a roster and the likes of we've never seen before. That's all fueled by a very, very competitive head of the athletic department, Tom Holmoe, and his associate AD Brian Santiago. Yep. Those dudes are so competitive. And frankly, we don't talk about this a lot. President Reese, Jason, is very committed and competitive to BYU taking that next step in the Big 12. He is awesome.
Takes it very seriously. Yeah.
You want to talk about how BYU sealed the deal with Kevin Young? Start with President Reese. Like, that dude is the reason that Kevin Young is honestly at BYU. Awesome. Yeah. Okay. So I love the competitiveness and how committed they are from the top down. That's what it takes. Our question of the day: why do you feel BYU athletics is better prepared for year two in the Big 12 conference? Michael Heath on X answers: year one had some great moments, as it was across the board. Give BYU another year, another batch of recruits, more experience, and a greater investment in coaching staffs and facilities, and we can go from some great moments to some great seasons. Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Seasons like BYU women's soccer enjoyed, right?
Absolutely. All right, let's switch gears. Topic two, and we've referenced this a little bit even in our first topic, but with the 2024 NBA draft in the books, the way too early 2025 NBA mock drafts are out, and BYU with a couple of players in that mock draft.
This blows my mind.
Yegor Dimon and Cannon Catchings were both featured in the way too early mock drafts by a couple of different outlets. Here are a few of what those look like. ESPN had Dimon going number 9 to the Spurs, and I love the fact that Cannon Catchings went number 26 to the Jazz. CBS Sports, you had Dimon number 8 to the Grizzlies. Sports Illustrated, Dimon 10 to the Spurs, and then number 6 to the Jazz, according to the NBA Draft Room, had Dimon going about 45 miles north of Provo.
Wow. With
Yegor, a projected lottery pick, how would a lottery pick, maybe even two, who knows, but just having a lottery pick, how would that pick validate BYU basketball?
It's just almost like a proof of purchase scenario, Jason. Like, you get this guy to the NBA and Kevin Young is doing exactly what we expected him to do. Like, then he can, so, because there's the idea out there. And it's a valid idea in many ways right now that if you play for Kevin Young, he knows how to develop your specifically offensive skill set and get you to the NBA because he's worked with the likes of Chris Paul and Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, among others, Bradley Beal, for crying out loud. He has worked with some of the elite scorers in basketball. So that idea is already floating out there, but what he hasn't done yet officially is take a dude who is wanting to get to the NBA and then officially placing him in the NBA. So once that happens, it's just like a data point where, okay, we talked about it, we expected it, well, now it's done. Yeah. Like, it is official. So that data point gets put in black ink instead of just like pencil, right? So once that becomes inked in officially, now you can say, I told you, you want to come play at BYU and you want to go to the NBA, you want me to develop your game? And people were like, well, can these, you know, these high-level guys that are not members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, can they commit to the honor code? Kevin Young's looking these guys in the eye and saying, look, if you want to go next level, you don't want to mess with things that the honor code is telling you not to do anyway. So if you want to go next level and you want to ball out and you don't want the typical fraternity experience, then I'm going to help you get there. Like, if you want the fraternity experience, go somewhere else. This is what he can bring to the table, Jason, is like, look, I know you can go a number of places, but you can only come to BYU if you want to work with me and you want me to take you to the next level. Like, that is awesome. They just need that data point inked in, and we'll see. Why can't BYU be like Gonzaga, Jason? Why can't they be
that type of program
with Kevin Young as the head coach?
There's no reason that they can't be. Look, and you said that, you know, with all the hype, and look, we've been talking about it, we're all pumped, we're all excited about what is going on with the BYU basketball program. And when Coach Young came in at that introductory press conference, and he said specifically, I want to make BYU the place where guys that want to go to the NBA want to come to get prepared to go to the league. And I saw a lot of people saying, ah, well, he has to say that. And like, it's BYU. Why would you say that at BYU? Well, he's taken it one step further and is now backing it up with the talent to come
in. A top 10 recruiting class for the first time in program history, if you're wondering.
And so I'm going to say not if, I'm going to say when he gets one of those guys into the league, then you imagine the hype now before it's happened. When he proves that the method worked and that coming to BYU can get you there like he said it would.
Yes.
Can you imagine the type of recruiting opportunities that will be available to BYU then?
Jason, he has been the head coach for about 9, maybe 10 weeks. Okay, it's been 10 weeks, I think.
It's like what, over, it's like less than 80 days.
Can you just think, if Yegor Demin is picked and is a lottery pick and Cannon Catchings gets drafted and BYU has two draft picks when they haven't had anybody drafted since Jimmer Fredette. It will have been 14 years since BYU's had a draft pick. If they have a lottery pick and then maybe another, what? Think about what he could do if he has a full year with his staff in place. He's done all of this largely with a partial staff. So, I don't know. I'm very, like many BYU basketball fans, I'm very excited to see what he's capable of with a full year to recruit and go after these guys, looking at what he's done in roughly 10 or 11 weeks as the head coach. That is remarkable. So once we ink that, once it's an official data point, then BYU basketball has some real momentum for a coach that can now recruit year-round.
Yeah, and you mentioned lottery pick, and that brings us to our stat of the day.
It's the BYU Sports Nation stat of the day.
All right, BYU has only had three lottery picks in program history and has never had two players selected in the first two rounds of the same draft.
Not even in the great early 80s.
No. Nope.
Danny Ainge and Greg Guyatt, Fred Roberts, like that, not even that core produced two of the same picks in the first two rounds.
In the first, so there's a, you know, depending on the mock draft that we saw with ESPN, had BYU with two first round picks.
That's unbelievable.
It's unreal. And look, that's the type of thing that is very enticing to think about with this roster
New
and
age.
The possibility moving forward with this program.
I'm torn on this a little bit, and I said this to you on the call. As cool as it would be to have two draft picks, man, I'd love those guys to stick around for, I don't know, another year, a couple of years, some continuity. We see how much that matters and means to elite college basketball programs. And look at UConn. Like when Dan Hurley was able to convince a bunch of those guys to come back for another run, what do they do? Like they just,
look, it's a no lose situation. If they're good enough to be lottery picks, it's great for BYU. If they decide they want to come back for another year, that's also good for BYU.
Sure. There's a little torn there, you know.
You know.
It's like one and done's tough. It's exciting.
It's win-win.
A couple of years would be, you know, I'm being selfish here, but why not?
All right. So in case you missed our BYU football Back to the 80s Part 1 special with Hall of Fame quarterbacks Steve Young and Jim McMahon, you can find it anytime on demand at BYUSN.com.
Who else has Steve Young and Jim McMahon on the same program? Huh? You should go watch it. Up next, we're joined by two of the latest BYU Cougars to qualify for the Olympics, Kenneth Rooks and James Corrigan, in Studio B, fresh off lighting up the track in Pennsylvania. This is BYUSN.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
Man who had an unbelievable weekend. James Corrigan shocks the nation. Kenneth Rooks repeats. He's expected to be in. People chase you, people.
Oui, oui, for Paris. Yes. Alongside Jason Shepherd, I am Spencer Linton. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. It is our absolute pleasure to welcome in a couple of guys who are headed to Paris to compete for Team USA in the steeplechase. They are Kenneth Rooks and James Corrigan. Welcome, gentlemen. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
After just what has been a super successful, wild past few weeks.
Yes, it's been pretty wild. It's been awesome.
James, we'll start with you. And sure. You told us last week during an interview on BYUSN that you needed to hit 8:15 to hit the standard so that you get to the Olympics. You knew the pressure was on. You knew your buddy Kenneth was going to be helping pace you. So to actually pull that off at, if I think the official time was closer to 8:14, but to do that, what was that like for you in that moment?
Yeah, it was awesome. There was a lot more pressure than I was used to, just because, you know, even if you're doing good, you're still in a position to be the underdog, and that's a good feeling in all these races I came into. And I think sometimes my competition can kind of brush things off, and so I'm like, oh, perfect, you know, don't look at me, I'll just do my thing. But in this case, everything was for me to race as well as I could have and run a fast time. And so there was a lot of pressure, and it helped me a ton to talk to some of these guys who are, I mean, a three-peat champion knows what it's like to handle pressure when everyone's looking at you. And so actually doing it was really satisfying because I felt like I matured in my competition a lot.
So Kenneth, I mean, Spencer touched on it, you know, setting the pace for him. What was it like to watch him from that perspective?
Yeah, that's a great question. So actually the morning of the race, like my foot had actually started to get just a little sore towards the end of the week. So we actually made the decision to have me not be out there helping set the pace for him. So I had a little different perspective on it. We had Daniel Mikowski there.
Sure.
And he did a perfect job pacing, and really happy that we reached out to him and had him out there. And it was awesome to have him be a part of that and to set the pace for James. But I was close to the finish line, and I was just trying to just make sure I was yelling at James and Dan as they were going by, and keeping the energy high. And it was just exciting, like just seeing them go through and just to be so laser focused. And they came through like a mile, like right on pace. And I was just, I almost started crying. I was kind of emotional just because I was just so excited, so happy. And I was like, I think they're going to do it. And then he came through with like two laps to go, and all I needed to do was run 2:10 to run 8:15, and I was like, James could do that. He's got that. And then it was awesome to just be like, because I was right there at the when he had like one lap to go, and he realized that all he had to do was run a 65, and so he crossed the line and he smiled because he knew that he could close faster than a 65. Yeah. So he closed in a 63, got that 8:13. So it was awesome to have a little bit of a different role there as a more of a teammate and a coach. And everything worked exactly as it needed to work out. Mm.
So you brought something up that I've always been curious about. So, I mean, obviously you guys are focused on what you're doing, and you've got people cheering for you. And are you even aware of people around you, or because you're so laser focused, do you have to go back and actually kind of look at some of the video to see what actually was going on around you?
Sometimes this was a unique situation because I knew that everyone was cheering for me. And so, at least most people were. But most races, I don't hear a thing. I rarely hear or can pinpoint even coaches afterwards. I can't remember anything. I know during the race, I'm sure subconsciously I'll hear something and make a decision based off of that. But it's so hard to think. You're just locked in. But this race, I could hear everybody. I was like, okay, that's Ashley. That's my mom. That's my dad. I was like, I know that whistle. That's Coach. That's Kenny. And it also helped that, you know, Kenny was literally in my face right there screaming. And so
you're right. Kenneth, are you crying?
No, but any little bit of a, you know, when you start to like zone out a little bit, it was like, boom, right in my face, snap out of it. And so hearing everybody and knowing they're cheering for me, it was a very unique race where I paid attention to everything, kind of, you know, you want to lock in still, but hearing everybody was different this time.
Yeah.
To be teammates and headed to Paris and know that you're going to be in the opening ceremonies as BYU Cougars, and there are seven now that have officially qualified, which is the most in almost, I think, I want to say more than 50 years as far as a collective group. What does that mean to you? A question for both of you. Kenneth, we'll start with you. To be in that group of BYU Cougars that are going to be there at the opening ceremonies, rocking the red, white, and blue.
You know, it's an incredible honor. I mean, it's a special moment in BYU history, and it's really cool to be a part of it. But like a lot of the people who are going, like I've been teammates with everybody who's going at some point or another, other than I think Jimmer.
Yeah.
But
Jimmer's everybody's teammate, though. Come on.
It's America's teammate.
Yes, that's true. And so it's just really special. And, you know, even like to just share this with James, too. Like it was awesome finishing the trials, and to know that like I'd won, I'd made it to the Olympics, and turn around and see James like I got third, I got third. So it was a special moment, especially like what he did this last Saturday. It makes it even more special to me because he went out and he ran the Olympic standard, and that's not an easy thing to do, especially like within less than a week after you just basically ran the best race of your life. So anyways, it's special to be a part of this BYU history and to rep the Y and rep the US. I got to do that last year at Budapest, but happy to do it again this year in Paris.
A little different this time around.
Yeah, a little different this time.
So what does the schedule look like for you guys over the next, when do you guys get there? Take us through what the next couple of weeks are like, and you've got a little something extra that you've got to work in before you even go over there. You're getting married too.
Yeah, that's right.
So take me through what this schedule looks like over the next couple of weeks for you two.
Well, I can start since I have the earliest landmark there, but I'm getting married this Friday, so I'm super excited about that. But after that, I'll go on a honeymoon, and that'll be my just mileage week, no workouts probably. But beyond that, we'll have, 5 or 6 weeks probably of training. And then I know we're getting there for the opening ceremonies, and then we'll do some. We'll have to talk to Coach about it. It's like we're doing that right after this, actually. So
yeah,
we'll plan some more about what it's going to look like because our event's later in the games.
Second honeymoon in Paris, then?
Possibly,
James?
Yeah.
Okay,
if we can afford that.
Well, yeah. Trust me, I've been there, and I know how that goes. Kenneth, as you watch, not just James, but so many collectively go from track and field specifically. What does this mean for BYU track and field as a collective group under Ed Isone and Diljit Taylor?
Yeah, you know, I think it means a lot, especially to Ed Isone. I mean, he has like 4 athletes right now that he's currently coaching that are going, and it means a lot to Coach Taylor too, and for the program. I think that it's just we already have a really good program, and with a lot of really good people, but I think it's just going to inspire everybody to just keep working hard and maybe set their goals a little bit higher. And it's just incredible to be along for the journey, and I've been inspired by some of the guys who've gone a little bit before us throughout. Like both my teammates and throughout BYU history. And so it's cool to be in that position where we can kind of inspire others to also kind of lift into.
Sure.
And yeah.
Well, Kenneth, I need to follow up on Jason's question for James as well. Like, how much different is your calendar compared to his with the wedding and all?
Well, like when you say calendar, are you talking about like from now until the Olympics?
Yeah. Yeah.
James is probably going to have an easier week this week than me because he raced this last weekend, so I'll have a little bit of a harder week this week in terms of workouts than him. But then hopefully we can line up our training and work together, and I'm really excited that we can train together.
Where will that take place primarily, the training?
Primarily it's going to be here.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go across the country to do different things?
No. We're considering maybe doing something in Europe for a little bit. We're figuring that out, but yeah.
Gotcha.
So take us through what the competition is going to be like. What are your expectations? What type of competition will you be going up against? Take us through that and what you are expecting of yourself when you get there.
Yeah, well, the competition is going to be the best in the world. I have confidence that I can close at the best in the world, especially after how I closed at the Olympic trials this last, a week ago. I think that both of us should have the confidence that we can compete with the best in the world. And we'll see how everything turns out. I mean, really, like, we're just gonna be focused on training and peaking to have another amazing performance for both of us at the Olympics, and we'll see what happens. We'll be curious.
Yeah, yeah. You and everybody across BYU Sports Nation, very excited and curious.
What about you, James?
I don't know what to expect. I don't really know too many of the guys in that field, but I will say if Kenny's confident and I have to train with, you know, a three-peat champion, a guy who feels like he can outkick everybody, I feel like I'm in a good spot. So I'm just going to treat everybody as if they're just, you know, racers in a race like normal. And
sure.
I think that's how I had to approach the trials, is just be okay, you know. I'm like, oh man, I'm passing him, or I shouldn't be with this guy, you know. Like, I just had to like put all that away. And so that's what I'm going to, this kind of attitude I'm going to have going into the Olympics, is just, I trust my training. I trust, you know, Kenny, obviously. And if he thinks that, you know, we can do certain things, let's do it.
Wow, you both.
You guys want to hold
so
up the
much.
Hold yeah. up the medals so we can
yeah. get yeah. it. The gold and the bronze.
Yeah, I mean, how sweet is that? That is so cool.
They're heavy too.
They are heavy. Yeah, you let me hold one a second ago. That's legit weight right there. Yeah.
That's saying something from Jason.
No.
He must have lift that medal on a daily basis to work on those biceps. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, super thrilled for you. And thanks for making time for us in your busy schedules. Good luck with the wedding.
Thank you.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
I mean, good grief.
Like, Car-
be- we'll
give you the,
up.
Yeah, we'll give you the BYU Sports Nation karma for the wedding, and then obviously for the Olympics as well. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
All right, okay. Tune in this Friday for part two of our BYU Football Back to the 80s special as we break down BYU's national championship season with Robbie Bosco, Friday, noon to Eastern, on both BYU TV and BYU Radio.
So let's get specific. Getting to the Olympics and the number of athletes going, we're going to tell you why it is so significant after the break. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is a man that I respect every day for what he does in the gym, Jason Shepherd.
You're very kind.
Hey, let's celebrate the 100th season of BYU football, not only with our matching polos here today, Jason, but our producer is going to ask us a random BYU football trivia question that deals with this day. So, Colton Potter, welcome back to the program. What random trivia question do you have for us to help us adequately celebrate 100 years of BYU football?
All right, so this will be a daily segment we do each day. So our first question is, BYU recorded their first win, touchdown, and shutout in the same game, November 14th, 1922, when they beat which Rocky Mountain Conference foe?
Oh, man, do you know the answer to this?
I'm going to say Rocky Mountain University.
I'm trying to, I want to say it was Wyoming.
Is it Pueblo College?
Was it Wyoming?
The answer is Wyoming.
It was Wyoming. Yes, I remember studying about this the last time BYU played Wyoming in Provo and like using that as a way to rib the Cowboys fans. So
there you go. Well, let's bring that back up when the regular season hits in the non-conference this year.
What was the score though? Was it 6-0? Or 13-0 or
7-0.
It was 7-0. Okay, so they did get the extra point.
There you apparently. Go. There you go.
There you go. It's always good to beat the Cowboys. Let's hope it happens in September
yes,
as well.
Yes, please.
And let's also roll out today's headlines.
All right, congrats to both James Corrigan and Courtney Waymont, who qualified for the Paris Olympics in the steeplechase over the weekend. Waymont qualified Friday night at the U.S. Olympic Trials after taking second in the 3,000-meter steeplechase with a new personal best and the number 5 time in the world this year. Corrigan qualified on Saturday night at the Penn Relays in Philadelphia by hitting the Olympic standard time, running an 8:13.87 to clinch his spot in Paris. As we just talked about, Corrigan took third at the Olympic trials last weekend. Now, Spencer mentioned this in the interview, 7 current or former Cougars have now qualified for the Paris Games.
Amazing.
So, Jimmer Fredette in the 3x3 basketball, Connor Mance, Clayton Young, Rory Linkletter, by the way, with Team Canada in the marathon, and then Kenneth Rooks, James Corrigan, and Courtney Waymont in the steeplechase. That is now the most BYU athletes to qualify for a single Olympics ever, passing the 1972 Munich Games when 6 current or former BYU athletes qualified. Wow.
So it's more. It's the most ever.
It's the most.
Holy cow. 6 in 72. History!
That's right.
How cool is that? Also cool. Way too early 2025 NBA mock drafts have BYU freshman guard Yegor Demon and forward Cannon Catchings both projected as first-round picks. Notably, These publications have Demon and Catchings in the following place. ESPN's mock draft, Demon number 9 of the San Antonio Spurs, Catchings number 26 to the Utah Jazz.
Please.
CBS Sports has Demon going number 8 overall to the Grizzlies. Sports Illustrated has Demon at number 10 to the Spurs. And NBA Draft Room has Demon at number 6 to the Jazz.
Please.
My guy, Daniel Schneeman, former Cougar infielder, now with the Cleveland Guardians, had 2 hits and 2 runs batted in across 4 games this weekend while playing shortstop, third base, left field, center field, and right field. The guy can do it all.
True utility man.
And elsewhere in the minors, Jackson Clough had 2 hits yesterday, a triple and a home run. He drove in 5 for the Rochester Red Wings in the Nationals system. That's their AAA affiliate.
So you're going to get called up this year?
I hope so. He deserves it. Michael Rucker pitched 2 scoreless innings while striking out 4 during a rehab assignment for the Phillies AAA affiliate, the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs.
What?
Exactly. Justin Sterner pitched 1 inning, gave up 1 run, and struck out 1 batter for the Durham Bulls. Cy Nielsen pitched a scoreless inning and struck out 2 for the Greensboro Grasshoppers. Mm-hmm. And Cooper McKeon in the Baltimore Orioles system, so your team.
Let's go, Coop.
Pitched 2 scoreless innings, striking out 3 for the Delmarva Shorebirds.
Who doesn't love the Shorebirds, Jason?
Who doesn't love to travel to Delmarva?
Shorebirds, Grasshoppers, Iron Pigs. It's been a full show on BYU Sports Nation. Gordon Eakin, BYU softball head coach, announcing the signings of a pair of transfers, specifically catcher Lindy Milkowski and pitcher Kennedy Belknap. Milkowski comes to BYU after playing the last 3 seasons at Illinois State, where she was a 2-time All-Ohio Valley Conference honoree. She totaled 23 home runs, 93 runs batted in. Yeah, she brings a big bat. Belknap enters her time in Provo after playing last season at Galveston Community College, where she pitched 27 innings across 13 outings a season ago.
Sean Olmstead and BYU men's volleyball announced the signing of transfer outside hitter and opposite Lucas Torres. Torres comes to Provo after playing 2 seasons at Vancouver Island University, where he averaged 2.21 kills per set and a .319 hitting percentage.
Okay.
I'll take that.
Some nice depth there. Head coach Holly Hassler of BYU Women's Tennis signs former 5-star recruit out of the class of 2023, Chelsea Bluestein. Bluestein comes to BYU after playing last season at Iowa, where she went 4-5 in singles matches, 3-6 in doubles last season. This is a massive pickup for Hassler and a program that is on the up and up, Jason.
And America's teammate, Jimmer Fredette, was named the MVP of 3x3 Quebec Challenger event this weekend as he helped lead Team Miami to the title as they prepare for the Paris Olympics.
John Rothstein, holy cow. Oh, let me officially say this. Those are today's headlines. Now we whip it. John Rothstein posted the returning scoring production by percentage for each Big 12 school next season. BYU is returning the 5th most points of any Big 12 program from last year at 48.8%. What else jumps out to you about these numbers, Jason?
Let me tell you, the Cougars in red returning 80% of that production. They lose Jamal Shedd.
He's their best player.
He's their best player, but you still bring back 80% of the production.
Yeah, Calvin Sampson's squad is going to be elite once again.
Look, it's not like Cincinnati at almost 76% is going to be a cakewalk. This conference is so much fun. It is an amazing basketball conference.
I'm telling you, play 20 games now on the men's side. 11-9 would be a remarkable accomplishment for Kevin Young in his first year as head coach in the Big 12 Conference.
All right, the big news over the weekend, Zach Wilson got engaged over the weekend.
Let's go, Zach!
All right, so BYU Sports Nation, if we put together a wedding gift to send to the happy couple when they get married, what should that wedding gift be?
This is always like the impossible question to answer because he's doing well financially, Jason. So what could we give Zach that he wouldn't get elsewhere? And methinks that we need to team up with BYU Athletics somehow and grant them their own specific wedding shoot, like using our athletic marketing program.
Okay.
We take all of the BYU gear and have him in his tux and his wife in her dress, and we swag him out and make him look awesome as in a BYU way. Okay?
Yeah.
It's the most unique, weird thing that I can think of. I don't know what to give Zach.
All right, I got an idea.
Can we give him a photo shoot that they wouldn't get anywhere else? Sure.
Okay, either a sign or a custom front door rug that says the Wilsons established 2024. Grateful we're not with the Jets. Oh. Will that work? I think they would like that.
An anti-Jets rug. So he dusts his feet on the Jets logo every day.
I'm just saying. We could probably get something custom made.
Yeah, now that's a great gift, Jason. Yeah, you should absolutely do that for Zach.
See what I can do for the
Wilsons. Right. Up next, BYU football. Going back to 1996 with their new uniforms. We welcome in Austin Colley to discuss just what that means and how jealous he is, frankly. This is BYUSN.
This is Big 12 football.
Well, I'm banking hard on the core that BYU will bring back.
This team is motivated. Some of them were young. Okay, we know what work we have to put in.
That's why they will be better than 4.5 wins.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B, Cougar football. Low expectations, but they are bringing it in their uniform swag for sure. They released those new uniforms as of this morning. It's a throwback to 1996, and specifically for the Kansas State game. Of course, BYU beat Kansas State in the Cotton Bowl in 96,
yeah.
Or technically January 1st, 1997, yes. But the 96 season. So it all comes full circle. And to join us to break down these uniforms and a little bit more is former BYU wide receiver, great NFL veteran Austin Colley back on the program. Austin, how are you this morning? And what do you think of these new BYU uniforms?
Yeah, you asked me how I am this morning. Super envious, shocker. I mean, I was already jealous of all the combinations that they had before, right? I mean, these are by far my favorite BYU jerseys that ever came out, right?
I mean,
this was the time where I was actually coherent as a child and watching games, right? They kind of have like a similarity to the 1996 or 1997 49ers jerseys with the shadow block
the drop
numbers.
Shadow. Dude. Like, yeah.
Oh, props to Josh Hewitt right there at the equipment. I mean, he's blown this one out of the water. If this doesn't win Jersey of the Year, going to be shocked.
Okay, so that brings a question because we know that Bronco felt very, very he was very firm on he liked the classic BYU look and he didn't want to make changes to it. How often did you and your teammates approach Bronco like, can we mix it up just to, can we change something? Did you guys ever go to him and to ask him about that?
Listen, I was on the petition trail every single day, knocking down his door, knocking down Mick's door. All I wanted at the time was, hey, can we at least go like white on white or navy blue on navy blue? But the alternate navy blue with the white pan and the white jersey with the blue pan, I was like, this is old, man. Or actually, we didn't even have blue pants. It was just white pants, right? So, I mean, it was just so standard. I mean, I'm big on the idea of, you know, if you're looking good, if you're looking the part, right, you're going to play the part. And, you know, I will say that's one thing, right? Like, they're coming out with all these jerseys. They have all these jerseys. Now our play's got to back up the way that we look, right? I mean, if you're going to be coming out looking swaggy like that, looking on point, you better win a lot of football games.
Well, in Las Vegas, and frankly, most preseason magazines, Lindy's, Athlon, Phil Steele, Austin, they have BYU somewhere between 4 and 5 wins this season at best. So if you are a player and you're in the mindset of a player, and for the past 2 months, all you've heard is you're no better than 4 or 5 wins, how are you approaching that? Maybe you use some uniform swag to motivate, but how are you approaching the low expectations, and what advice are you giving to the guys that you are working with?
They better have a chip on their shoulder, right? And you know, speaking with the guys, I know that this offseason has been a whole lot different. Their attitude going into the season has been a whole lot different. They've been far more accountable, especially on the offensive side of making sure everybody's, you know, feeling acclimated, you know, getting the playbook down, making sure that they're, you know, that they're having mistake-free practices. Which is where you need to start, right? Everything starts with the attitude that happens in practice, and everything that I've heard coming out of spring and now going into fall, man, there's been far more accountability, especially on the leadership side.
Today is our anniversary. A year ago today, BYU joined in the Big 12. So now that we're 1 year ahead of where we were this time, where do you feel, or how do you feel BYU athletics is better prepared heading into year two of the Big 12?
Listen, I mean, going into a new conference and not knowing what to expect, obviously there's going to be things, especially from the player standpoint and the play on the field, that are going to maybe rattle you a little bit, right? I think, you know, I think the improvement of the offensive line, the only way is up from what we had last year. I think the run game's going to improve. I think everybody's attitude as a whole and how to approach, like I said, once you know what the level of play is like, what the standard is, now your entire mentality changes on how you go into the offseason, how you go into practice each and every single day, how you go into your own personal training each and every single day, because now you know what the competition's like. Now you know what you're going up against, right? So I think this, you know, this jump from one, you know, year one to year two, I think we should see like a 20 to 30%, you know, improvement year round or all around, just from a mentality standpoint and from a performance standpoint.
Austin, as we say goodbye, this is my official plea on national television to at least have Josh Hewitt hook you up with one of those drop shadow jerseys so you can rock it at a game. Well, just hang it in your office. You know, something for you, man. You deserve it.
Listen, can I show you something real quick? I mean, not to hate on the old. I love this, right? Uh-huh. I love this. Uh-huh. But I mean, I would have given anything to have maybe a little blue chrome face mask, right? With the little old school 90s blue helmet logo, right?
Yes.
I mean, this is about those little stickers. That is about as eccentric as we got, brother, right there. But yeah, Josh would love a 1996 number 9 block jersey with my name. I mean, that would be killer. I would love that. I might even wear that to the games.
Let's go. The request has been made. Let's get some more fireworks for Austin's office, shall we?
Right?
Hey, that was pretty cool.
I need more swag.
Good to talk with you, Austin. Thanks, appreciate Austin. The insight as always, and good luck with as you continue to work with the BYU wide receivers in the offseason.
All right, gentlemen. We'll see you. You guys have a good day.
Drop shadow for life. Austin Colley on BYU Sports Nation.
I don't know how you feel, but those 96 uniforms to me, just they're the Chad Lewis jerseys to me.
I've been asking for 5 years, Jason.
Yeah.
It finally happened.
Yes.
Up next, who's going to be crowned as the best BYU quarterback in BYU history according to your fan vote? Is it Ty Detmer or Steve Young? There was a split decision of sorts. This is BYU SN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store. Official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation and the final day of our BYU SN Best BYU Quarterback Bracket. We're crowning a champion today, Jason. It took a while to get here, and now we have the results from the matchup of the number one seed Ty Detmer and the number three seed Steve.
What a matchup, huh?
Wow. Okay. The vote is in. And winning with a combined 52% of the vote between X and Instagram is the great Steve Young. It was very close,
yes, it
Jason.
Was. As it should be. When you get down to these two quarterbacks, it absolutely should be by mere votes. That's how good they are.
This could be a split championship, too, because Ty won on X 55% to 45%. But Steve won on Instagram 58% to 42% and more voted on IG. So we give the nod to Steve.
There you go. Congratulations to the great Steve Young.
They're both champions.
Absolutely.
Our question of the day. Why do you feel BYU athletics as a whole is better prepared for year two in the Big 12? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated from the one and only Travis Hansen, former BYU basketball great, who says on X, Homo, Santiago and others making great, consistent decisions over the years. Goes back to what I was talking about, yep. Jason.
Amen.
Starts at the top,
yes.
Right?
Amen.
Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about we give it to James Corrigan and Courtney Wayman, qualifying for the Paris Olympics. So massive.
Taking BYU into a place I've never been. 7 athletes in the same Olympics for the first time ever. Never had more than that in one single Olympics.
History.
Awesome. Our thanks to today's guests, Kenneth Rooks, James Corrigan, and Austin Colley.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All of our shows on demand at BYUSN.com.
For Jason Shepherd, I'm Spencer Linton. Shout out to Zach Colley. We'll see you tomorrow. Go Cougs!